Hello, darling. It's nice to see you. Been a long time. Oh, wrong place. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, amen. We finally got back to Florida to see our grandson graduate. And got back here, and the Lord's good, amen. How many veterans are here this morning? Would you stand up, veterans? All the veterans. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Amen.
And it is, I'm going to be out here at 1 o'clock. Yeah, tell us where you said it. He gave it to me, didn't he? What branch you were in, right over here, Stark?
United States Army.
United States
Army.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Army.
You can sit down after you tell us.
No.
Air Force. John Paul. Air Force.
Chuck Foy, U.S. Navy.
Hey.
Dave Gavin, U.S. Navy.
Hey.
Amen.
John Ford, United States Army.
He's on.
Amen.
Chuck Lake Navy. Bob Gifford, U.S. Army. John Foy, Navy and Army.
Navy and Army.
Got Air Force to go.
My brother was in the Navy and Army, too. Yeah. In Korea. And if the preacher was here, it would be a Marine here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's give him a hand, amen. I never, and pardon the personal part, but pass up a veteran that has a hat on now. Says he's a veteran, Vietnam, World War II, Korea, whatever, that I don't tell him. He's my hero. And I appreciate him serving.
Amen.
And I've seen those men cry, especially World War II, some Vietnam, cry. You always ought to tell a veteran you appreciate them. Listen, if it wasn't for World War II veterans, we may be speaking Japanese or German. And so thank God for all those that fought or those that were willing, those that were wore the uniform, amen. I'm going to sing this for you, amen. This land was built for freedom. Still our kids can pray in school. They used to read their Bibles, but now that breaks rules. Even on our money, it says in God we trust. It's time we Christians show this world that it stands true for us. And all across this country, the country needs the cross, a symbol of redemption, and it paid for us all. A statue of liberty came to save the world. certainly need to change things in D.C., but what this country needs is God more than anything. Amen. It needs to get back to God. What do we have? Sometimes in our problems, we wonder where God is. You ever have that? Anyway, where's God? Where's God? They asked that in Columbine. Where's God? Well, they kicked him out a long time ago in the school. And so, where's God? We've had that time in our life. Where's God? Why isn't God here in my problem? Well, you know what? God promised never to leave us nor forsake us, so God is there. And he'll show up in the right time, in his time. And this song simply says that he's standing in the shadows. When old Satan comes to tempt you, tries to make you doubt, while the Lord is there to take you by the hand with his loving arms around you, he will gently lift you out. He'll comfort you and he'll give you grace to stand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by those wounds in his hands. When this world is crumbling round you, and it seems that no one cares, and you think there's no use, carry on. Why, just remember that Jesus loves you and he cares for his own. He'll be standing there when all your friends have all gone. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you know him by those wounds in his hand. Yes, you will. In our display, when we're at the fairs, of course, we've got three doors of three things that God cannot do, which draws folk in. Then there's another banner that we have up. And what's one thing in heaven that was put there by man? Who can answer that? Anybody else? One thing put in heaven by man besides a preacher that somebody told. Anybody? One thing was put in heaven by mankind. The wounds. I'm not going to let you answer. The wounds in the hands and in the feet of Jesus were put there by man. I know you know. The wounds, man put those in the hands of Jesus. Still there. And so that draws people into our booth, where we can talk to them with an open Bible and try and get them saved. In our last Strawberry Festival here just a week ago, wake up in the motorhome, look out, we don't even know where we are. So where are we? Go ahead and look at our date book, see where we are. I don't know, but anyways, maybe 2 weeks ago, it was up in Buchanan, West Virginia, Strawberry Festival. God saved 56. So praise God, 56 got saved. And that's a blessing, amen. And we just praise God for that, amen. The Lord is good. A lot of folks there. And so we praise the Lord for the opportunity to be there. We're going to be in July, we're going to be managing a fair over in Howard County, Indiana, and then we'll be at the House State Fair. Large fair, House State Fair. Look with me in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. I count this a privilege to be here. We usually out here what time? 12? 11:30. Tell people when you got all you can get, just get up and go home. but there is a dog in the lobby and the door's locked, so I don't know if you know another way out of here. It's good to be here. I never preached in this auditorium, so before the other church had it or now. So, anyways, it's kind of a privilege to. I don't know if I was going to get the call this morning or not, but I got the call. And so, well, that's when I really hit my knees. Amen. I got the call this morning. Praise the Lord. All right. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Underline that. Straight gate. There's no curves in it. There's no looking down and you can't see the end. Now you can't see the straight. There's obstructions. It's a straight gate. You see that? Underline that. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You had to underline wide gate and broad way. Destruction. It's wide. It's a wide way. Easy to walk in. Easy to find. And it's destruction. God tells us what's in that gate. Now watch. And many there, many, I'd underline many or circle many. I like to circle words. Many, many. There be that go in thereat. And what? In the wide gate. The wide. The broad way. The wide way. Many go in. Thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And it says, and few there be that find it. Few, just a few. So how many people are in glory? There's lots of people in glory. There's 50 million babies that this country has murdered by the legality of abortion in glory in heaven. 50 million babies. Say, are they babies? Will there be babies up there? No. So that's 50 million plus all the saints that have already gone, plus those that die today. So there's lots. But now watch. Compared to the people in this world from time. Just few. Just few. When we're at our booth and we see multitudes, multitudes coming in. I say multitudes, I mean the whole fairway is a press of people. A press of people. And you look at them and you see, did I turn that on? That there's those, that press of people are souls coming at you. Not just people, they're souls coming at you. And I've got just, we've got just a short time to hand them a tract. We use smiley tracts. There's better tracts than smiley tracts, but for some reason, it's easy to say, can I give you a smiley? And, you know, even guys with chains hanging all over, yeah, I'll take a smiley. You know, well, it's got the gospel in it, you know. And so they'll take that smiley, but it's with a press of souls coming at you. You've got just a short time to get that smiley, and I mean, they're coming at you. They're moving in somebody's hand, and hopefully stop them and say, let me show you three things that God can't do. God can do everything. Well, let me show you three things that God can't do. Number one, God can't lie. Oh, that's true. God can't change. Oh, that's true. You can't get into heaven without being born again. Oh, that's true. Let me get back. Have you been born again? No. Let me come on back. I'm going to show you in the Bible. You've got just a short period of time to pull one out of that press. Broad. It seems like that fairway, and some of them are all different size. Seems like it's a broad way, a press of people, souls coming at you. And when you think that there are people that are dying and going to hell, I'm going to tell you something. It's an awesome thought. Broad is the way. To try to get somebody to make a choice, make a decision. We make decisions all the time, don't we? We made a decision. You made a decision. I'm glad that you did to come here this morning. There's times when you made a decision to stay home. And you probably wish that you'd came to church. But we all have that decision. Everybody has that decision but the preacher. He doesn't have that choice. It's off the books. But we all have that choice. We have that. You have that choice. I don't have the choice, really. But we all have decisions we make. Sometimes we got decisions. If we get a phone call, somebody knocks on the door, we get a letter in the mail, and all of a sudden we're faced with a decision we never thought we would be faced with. That we wish we weren't faced with it. And our heart drops. And we say, oh God. But it's a decision. And we've got to make it. Sometimes we drive down a road and we come to a forks in the road. We can turn around and go back, or we can take the left fork, or we can take the right fork. Most all the time in the Bible, Jesus, God does everything on the right. Isn't that amazing? He does everything on the right. And the left is man. And we can take the left fork and we can take the right fork. It's our decision. It's our decision. The great left fielder and catcher, mostly catcher, but he was a left fielder too, for the New York Yankees in the 50s and 60s, Yogi Berra, said, he was kind of a double talker or whatever, had little cliches and things. He said, but when you come to the forks of the road, he said, take it. Take it. Can you hear me? I was a joke. when you come to the forks of the road, take it. You can go left or you can go right. And so we face decisions. We face them every day. Now, there's the easy way to do things, or there's a hard way to do things. You got a decision, makes your choice. There's fast way or there's a slow way. There's an old way or a new way. I kind of like old ways about things myself. I like go back to the 50s where there's no computers or anything. If I had some money, I'd go back. If I could in a time machine. There's a right way and then there's a wrong way. And sometimes we'll make that decision to do it the wrong way when we know it's the wrong way. Don't we? It's a decision. I have a message that I preach. And it's not really like this, but it's called Decide to Decide. That when you decide to decide, that you really decide to decide. I don't preach it anymore. I'm too old. It's too confusing to me, so I don't preach it. Anyways, it was a good message. But there's two ways. There's always at least two ways of doing things. And we have to make a choice to do that. Two ways are easy many times to understand. Number one, there's man's way. There's your way. You can do it your way if you want. Your way. Now, if you're like me, times I've done it my way, I usually booger it up. But you can do it your way if you want. I don't know how many times preachers have sat in their office and they have counseled people, and they have literally said, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do it my way. I knew a guy like that. I was talking about him not too long ago. It was last week, wherever I was, talking to the preacher. This man used to go to this church. He was doing things that he should not be doing. He was 70 years old, should not be doing. And he was a soul winner in another church. I've known him for a long time. And he told the preacher, I don't care. I know what the Bible says. I'm going to do it. You know what it cost him? It cost him a bullet. And it killed him. And the other man is in prison. He did it his way. He was a saved man. Just because you're saved don't mean you're not going to do things your way. You still have a choice. Saved, you still got a choice to do it your way. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father when we do things our way and we find out they were the wrong way. A lot of times we knew they were the wrong way to start with. You see, two ways, your ways or God's way. Man's caught up today with, let me give you this scripture, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right, because to you, as you look at it and figure it out and calculate it all out, it seems right. It seems right. This is the way to do it. But when it all weighs out, when it's all done, it was the way of death. It was the way of death. And man today, he's going to do it his way. He's got it all figured out. Hebrews 11:12 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You see, sometimes it costs something to do things by faith. It simply means that you're not going to do it your way. You're going to have to put faith in God and do it God's way. Now, it takes faith to do it God's way. Although sometimes the way people do things their way took a lot of faith too. Amen? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder now, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've come to the conclusion a long time that you can't appease God, but you can please God. And we ought to live to please God and put our trust in God, not ourselves. Not ourselves. You got two ways to do it. You can either do it your way or put faith and do it God's way, the Bible way. The Bible said in John 10:28, and I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You ought to underline, I and my Father are one. If you ever have any doubts that Jesus is God, right there it is. I and my Father are one. Amen. You ever run up to anybody that says that he's not, like a cult, Jehovah's Witness, or Mormon, or whatever? I and my Father are one. Amen. And so we have the Bible way. The Bible says in Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what man wants today. He wants peace. He wants tranquility. Amen? He wants peace and he wants tranquility. He wants to go fishing. He wants to go hunting. Is anything wrong with those things? Absolutely not. He wants all the new bells and whistles of the day, and all the kids want all the Jordan high flyers and everything, and everybody has to have everything that is new and everything that costs all the money. And that's what we strive for today. And we simply put God out of our thinking. And we wonder many times why God doesn't bless. Why God doesn't bless. Why our prayers don't get answered. Now, I know this is a church that God's blessing. I was in a church here a while back that God has been blessing. But you know, I get in very few churches that are growing, very few churches that God is blessing in these days. And I believe it's because folk are not putting their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all themselves. Romans 3:17-18 says, in the way of peace have they not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes, and that's why it's all themselves. 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and have not gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They love the wages of unrighteousness. People do things that are wrong, and they know they've got to pay for it, but they still do it. They still do it. They know there's going to be punishment come, but they still do it. Look with me, if you would. I want to draw your attention to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 2. Multitudes have made their decision in these days not to go to church, made their decisions not to be saved. In this country, you know, there's signs going down the road with the gospel on it. Gospel's everywhere. Now, there's folk who don't understand. They don't understand, because I've dealt with them. They don't understand. I had a Jehovah's Witness the other day. A boy went to the Kingdom Hall every Sunday, and he got saved. He didn't understand a thing about Jesus because he's not taught. And he has Christ to save him. Praise God for that. Amen. And we had some Roman Catholics. We had some other. I guess we end up with about all denominations, and even some Baptists come in here that don't know that go to Baptist church, never been saved. But folk today usually are as I caught up in themselves that they just don't seem to have time for Christ. But this is the verse that that moves my wife and I, and I want to share this with you, that moves my wife and I to tell folk about the Lord and to try and encourage people to make the right choice. To make the right choice, to make a choice. To make the choice. It says in verse number 12 that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope without God in the world. When I see folk at the fairs, we're not doing meetings or revivals, we're at the fairs and trying to get folks saved. And I say there's multitudes of people coming, or even just one coming. And a lot of times they'll ignore us, they'll walk way around us. And we'll still speak to them, try to get them there. But I see, first of all, sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes they'll holler back and say, I've been born again, I've been saved, I'm just in a hurry or something. But I see folk that are without Christ. It says here, ye were without Christ. Can you remember when you were without Christ? I was just 12 years old, or 13. I got saved 13, so I was 13. I was without Christ. Think about that, being without Christ. Jesus said, listen, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. Without Christ, we wouldn't even have air to breathe. God could shut our air off if he wanted to. Folk that don't have a Savior, if they die, they simply die and go to hell. No Christ. They may have a church. They may have a church family. They may tie their income. Listen, they may have a great record of attendance and attendance pins all over their coat. But they're without Christ. We've dealt with them. Been in church all of our life. Without Christ. That's sad, isn't it? Somebody's been in church all their life and without Christ? We've had them say, you mean I've been in church all my life and I've done this and I've been without Jesus? According to me, but according to the Word of God, you have. And they've gotten mad. Mad at their denomination because they were not told the truth and they were without Christ. Then it says, being aliens from the commonwealth. Commonwealth is simply that which governs. No commonwealth of Israel. Strangers. From the covenants of promise. No promises. No promise. Nothing you can hang your hat on. Not a promise. Having, this is, listen, I think this is the saddest verse in the New Testament. I think it's the saddest verse in the New Testament. Without Christ having no hope. That's what reprobate is. Reprobate. Having no hope. No hope. That's what somebody that's unsaved. You got family that's unsaved? They're without Christ. They have no hope. Zip. Zero. Ought. No hope. A young couple getting married today without Christ? Not a ghost of a chance. No hope. Not in this world. Not me be a prophet of doom. I'm a realist. No hope. I think of a woman, and I'll be careful because I would just be careful. Ended up at a institution, state institution, and the psychiatrist. I used to work at the state hospital. If there's anybody crazy, it's the psychiatrist. They're loony. They're loony. Boy, I'm telling you. I used to bring their dogs in, their Great Danes, and feed them off the food cart before the patients ate. They're loony moons, I'm telling you. Anyways, the psychiatrist told this girl who was a Christian, quit going to church. Your problem is your family, they're Christians. That's your problem. You go to church too much. And told her husband, there's no hope. She'll always be in an institution. There's no hope. None. No hope. Well, let me tell you this. I found out, and I believe in the Word of God, that with Christ, there's always hope. Are you listening? There's always hope with Christ. I don't care how doom it looks, no light at the end of the tunnel, how bleak. There's always hope with Christ. Now listen, get this, write it down, put it on the refrigerator. With Christ, there is always hope. And read it every day. People do things to themselves because they think they've run out of hope. But with Christ, there's hope. Here's people without Christ, and they have no hope. How sad. No hope. None. When the problem comes, they've got no hope. Then it says, and without God in the world, how'd you like to be in this world with no God? How'd you like to be in this world with no God? And when trouble comes, you get down on your knees and say, oh God, please. God, I need you. People do that. But the old saying is prayers you don't get any higher than the ceiling. There's truth to that. Not everybody, but most of this world thinks that God is the God of everybody. That's not true. God's the creator of everybody. God created man. God's not everybody's God. You don't come to the Father but by Christ. And if you did that, you'd have Christ, and you couldn't do that. So if you don't have Christ, you have no hope, you have no God. Everybody doesn't have God. You don't have God to go through without Christ. No prayers. No answered prayers. Nobody to go to. You're just on your own. Trouble comes, you're on your own. Pretty sad here. I'd like to see a multitude of people coming towards you. And you know, spiritual statistic wise, most of them are lost as they can be. They don't have Christ, they don't have hope, they don't have any God. Well, if anything moves you, to just carry some tracks with you and just lay one down once in a while somewhere, or hand one to somebody somewhere, that'll do it. That'll do it. People need to make a choice. They need to make a choice for Jesus. And they're not going to do that without us. They won't do that without us. It takes us. And it's something God chose us to do that. He chose us to tell them. Chose us to give them the gospel. Could have chosen an ass. Did that, didn't he, once? Could have had donkeys running up and down the road telling people the gospel. He wanted to. But he chose us. Well, everybody's got choices. Unsaved got choices. The best choice they got to make is to receive Christ as Savior. That's the main choice they got. But you and I got choices. We got spiritual choices to make. Probably some of us here today got some choices we ought to make. We ought to be making. We need to talk to God about. Maybe we need to come to the altar this morning and make a choice. Just tell God, look, if you'll help me, I'll do what you want me to do. Maybe some here, there's things God wants you to do and you haven't done it. And just say, if you'll help me, I'll do it. Or I'll do better at this. Or forgive me of this or whatever. I don't know. But after you're saved, we got a lot of spiritual choices to make until we go home and be with Jesus. Then I don't know about choices up there. I've never been there, so I don't know. So I'll stand to our feet. I've got 1958. I made a choice for Jesus. I let go of the world. I was only 13 years old, but boy, I knew if I didn't get saved.